Blog Talk Radio.
1 for trouble.
1 for the treble.
2 for the bass.
2 for the bass.
3 for the latest.
3 for the latest.
And 4 for the blaze.
4 for the blaze.
Yo, yo, yo. It's that heat, that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, yo. The heat coming thick down from Sao Paulo. Baking New York, shaking up the Apollo. The rhyme I ignite, people bite and swallow. But the way they recite it, it's sounding real hollow. Hollow like empty 40-ounce bottles. Holla at your boy if you wanna date models. Brazilian beauties with booties that wobble. Movies like tooties that fog up your goggles. Yeah, I keep a hot full throttle. Beats bang out to keep your head on bobble. Instrumentally, I'm rich like Lotto. Fundamentally, I just can't follow. Or get sentimental with winners and my bros. Diving, ducking, dodging from high-low. Point bullets that turn bodies into John Doe's. I stay positive and rock mics cause I go 1 for the trouble, the trouble. 2 for the bass, the bass. 3 for the latest, the latest. And 4 for the blaze, the blaze. Slow down, baby.
Hot wind.
That heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat. Take off clothes, get mellow. Relax your soul, get mellow. A wine spy, get mellow. Mellow, get mellow. Slow down, baby. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, yo. It's that heat coming in slow motion. Barbecue your body, keep your body straight roasted. Light skin honeys get the suntan lotion. Dark skin honeys in the sun with no commotion. You can catch me chilling by the ocean with Brazilian feminine sipping on potion. Girls looking like cinnamon toast, and I got a little chocolate for your cinnamon toast. I got the notion to get real close. That's a little self-promotion, don't mind if I boast. Baby, I can be your favorite host. Break you off with a single or a freaky double dose. Just don't catch no emotions. I'll bring heat from coast to coast. Beats and rhymes is my devotion. I'm turning MCs into ghosts when I talk about 1 for the trouble. And 2 for the bass. And 3 for the latest. And 4 for the blaze. Slow down, baby.
Hot wind.
It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, so take off your clothes. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, yo.
This show is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com. You're listening to Keep It Magic Radio. Are you ready to make some magic? Jackie and Storm are putting the pieces together for you. Find out what planets are changing the game and how to harness that energy. Get the latest metaphysical perspective on hot topics. Learn how to make magic work for you. Nothing is too hot or personal for Jackie and Storm to handle. Visit our website weekly for articles, updates, and the latest information to transform your life at www.keepitmagic.com. Now here is Jackie Smith and Storm Sestavani.
Welcome to Keep It Magic, everybody, where you will find every excuse to do so. This is Jackie Smith, and everybody fasten your seatbelts because I'm running the board today. I'm here with my brilliant and talented and amazing and BFF, Storm Sestavani.
Hello.
We're about to go on another show of magical outtakes, some practical laughter, because we have Dorothy on today.
Oh, I love me some Dorothy Morrison.
And so, you know, it's all about magic today. So this is our When to Curse and When Not to Curse show. And, of course, if you're going to talk about cursing, we need to bring Dorothy from Wicked Witch Studios. So, while you're here and while you're listening, there's going to be a lot of notes to take, and you're going to want to go to CoventryCreations.com where you can get all the different products we're going to talk about or the solutions we're going to talk about. And we really want you to do that because they're our sponsor and they are the reason we get to be here playing on the radio. If you have a problem, an issue, money, prosperity, love, cursing, being cursed, whatever, we have a candle for that. So to reach Storm off the air, you can go to PsychicFriendsNow.com or you can like him on Facebook at AstroGossip. To reach Jackie Smith, a.k.a. me, off the air, you can go to CoventryCreations.com or you can find me on Facebook under Coventry Creations or Jackie Smith or all those searches. And you can Twitter us and find us in all kinds of certain ways, but you will always find us on KeepItMagic.com, which is our home base for this show. So, hey, Storm.
Hey.
How's your weekend?
It went very, very well. I mean, I mainly did a lot of studying and working on all of my million projects and, working out.
Yes, you have been. You can't even stop working out. Wait, isn't in Kabbalah there supposed to be restriction? Because you're not experiencing that with your workouts.
I am restricting. I could be doing it longer.
I'm talking to you on the phone, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm on the treadmill.
Well, at least I wasn't fapping. I mean, that could be worse.
Well, yeah, there's many different things that you could be doing which are worse, but, hey, what can I say? I'm grateful that it wasn't worse.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're talking about curses today.
Yes.
Have you cursed?
Yes.
Okay. Have you regretted it?
No.
Okay, there you go. I am the cursor of the pair here. I should say more of a potty mouth between the two of us. But I have a question for you on cursing, because we can go in a specifically righteous direction.
Yeah.
Have you read the book Wicked?
Yes, I have. It's one of my favorite books.
Yeah. So I find it really fascinating, the different perspective that you get from the book, the different idea, the point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember looking at, somebody was sending something around right around the time when Wicked came out about, here's this Dorothy person that showed up in Oz, killing her sister, stealing her shoes, and making all her friends against her. So I thought, wow, that's cursing is definitely a point of view, because there's many times in my youth, in my early baby witch days, where people thought I was an evildoer. And there's lots of people who still think I'm an evildoer, and that I need to be taken out.
Whatever that means.
I know. And I find that it's a very interesting point of view. And even when I have an employee that puts me up on a pedestal too much, I'm like, oh, no, because it's a really long fall.
Yeah.
And then you think I'm a horrible person. So just from my own perspective there, it can absolutely be somebody else's point of view, and so I have to take my own inventory. So what did you think about Wicked as a book, as a different perspective on this whole thing?
The main thing that I liked about the book is that if you just watch The Wizard of Oz, you get a perceptual idealism that Glinda is all light and easy and joyful and all this other stuff. And when you read Wicked, you realize that she's anything but that. And being able to start to see something from that particular other perspective of an individual, it reminded me more, Jackie, of what it in many ways is like to grow up gay. You have a girl that's born. She has some green weird skin. She can't bathe. She has a sister with no arms. She has weird teeth. Everything about her is in some ways different. And then you go out into the world and you are faced with all of this other reality in which everything is a different way, and people act in different ways, and people look at you differently for being who you are. And, you know, even though that I've never had a real problem in regards to being gay, I know that being different in regards to being creative, being intuitive, mm-hmm. add that to being a victim of sexual abuse, and add that to being gay. It is a recipe that I think that is can be extremely difficult, and I think that the book sums up very, very well that particular recipe in a very metaphorical sort of way, and why certain people do things that they do in order to protect themselves.
Agreed. Now, the thing about the book that I found was really interesting is, of course, the book is I think is really well written as far as it really brings in our memory of what the Wizard of Oz was like from our childhood. So it made me stop and think about the Wizard of Oz as a story.
Yeah.
And to say Glinda the Good Witch was manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
They manipulated Dorothy and her merry band of misfits to do their dirty work that they had no business doing.
Mm-hmm.
So really, to me, The Wizard of Oz is, and Wicked is a book of cursing,
mm-hmm.
Is a book of self-righteousness. And that's what cursing to me is you feel so righteous in your belief that, and sometimes rightfully so, that that you will go to that intense end. And the thing about Wicked, from seeing the stage play and reading the book, and actually I listened to the audio book again, which gives it a completely different perspective because you start visualizing things in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It really was about being downtrodden, being disrespected.
Oppressed, yeah.
Oppressed. Thanks. That's the word I was looking for. And that oppression, makes you the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
We oppress people because even in our own lives, is we'll look at not interacting with somebody or not giving somebody a fair shake because what they are is different enough from us or frightens us enough. And that, unfortunately, is a part of human nature that I'm not a fan of. So, but with our talking about Wicked, I think we should bring Dorothy on.
Yeah, definitely.
Because Dorothy, who is the author of Utterly Wicked, Curses, Hexes, and Other Unsavory Notions, and one of our absolute favorite people, if we're going to talk about curses, we absolutely have to talk to Dorothy about that. So welcome, Dorothy.
Thank you so much for having me. How are y'all?
Doing great. Better now that you're here.
Aww. I'm already on the show. You don't have to kiss my ass.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Yeah,
really,
we do it off the show, Dorothy. What are you talking about?
So, as we were talking about the movie Wicked, which of course you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not the movie, the book. Of course
yes,
you've read.
Yes, I've read. I have an autographed copy.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Of course you do. What am I thinking? Now, was that an interesting, when you first read it, was that an interesting perspective for you to take on that?
You know, it really, really was. Once I got into it, I loved it, and anyone who reads it can't help but cheer Elphaba on,
mm-hmm.
and go, ew, you know, at the other. And right. And Glinda, you know, and so on and so forth. Yeah, I think it was a book of cursing too.
Mm-hmm.
In subtle ways.
Both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
tell me some of the subtle ways you think it was about cursing.
Well, with the movie The Wizard of Oz, I don't think that most people who are not magical people see that. That's mm-hmm. that's to start with, and that makes the whole thing subtle. All the manipulation, all the interfering with things they had no business interfering with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when when you create hardships for other people. That in itself is a form of cursing.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the movie is presented, you never really see the hardships that, or most people don't you know, really take a hard look at the hardships that the Wicked Witch is facing.
Right.
Even the wizard is facing. You know, the Great Oz did not put himself out there to be the Great Oz. Those people made him the Great Oz.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he came in his balloon quite by accident, landed there, and they thought because he was flying through the air, you know, he must be a wonderful wizard. And so he was forced into to that position, and I think, you know, he had the most to lose.
Right. He was on that really rickety pedestal that is a very, very long fall.
Yes, yes.
Because I do think cursing, when you can curse somebody by painting a fantastic picture of them.
You know, and this is why I tell people, don't put your public figures on pedestals. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, people will come to me and they'll go, oh, Dorothy, you know, you changed my life, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And I'll tell them right quick, don't put me up there. I'm clumsy. I'm going to fall down, and you're going to be crushed when I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a normal, everyday person.
Mm-hmm.
And most of your public figures, you know, most of the people who others see as celebrities are just normal people. But their fans are just aghast when they do something normal, you know?
Right. But I also think we do this in looking for heroes in our own lives. I think that's a natural thing that happens in work situations, in love situations, that we put somebody in a hero place because we're looking for a hero. I should have found that song. So I'm looking for a hero. I think that's a song. But anyway, we're looking for somebody to save us from something.
Mm-hmm.
And even Dorothy's struggle down the yellow brick road, she was looking for someone to save her.
Yeah.
And nobody can. You have
that's
to do
exactly
it.
That's exactly right.
You have to do it yourself. Now, Utterly Wicked, which I know, I love it when this first came out, you got a little bit of flack, although now people use it as a go-to. But what brought you to writing Utterly Wicked?
You know, I was really pissed. Somebody stole money from me. and it wasn't, you know, and it wasn't so much that they stole my wallet. They simply covered up the fact that they owed me money.
Mm-hmm.
And that really pissed me off. And so I sat down one morning, and I was really just trying to write out my frustrations. Because sometimes, you know, when you're pissed, you have to take a breath and go, oh, you know, am I right in this? What can I do about this? Blah, 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 blah. Maybe I need to sit down and write it out and just see if I'm justified or not. And, you know, I decided I was. And then this great idea hit me. I could turn this into a book, and I could weave a curse against those folks right through the manuscript. And that's exactly what I did.
Well, that's creative.
I thought it was.
Yes.
I thought that was just wicked as hell, you know? And
interesting.
So, yeah, because... you know, as I got into writing it, and I have to tell y'all, now I really had to stay mad to write this. In the middle of it, I was about halfway through the manuscript, and my husband was celebrating 25 years with the company for which he works, and so they sent us as a 25 year anniversary thing. They sent us to Hawaii for 2 weeks, all expenses paid.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Hawaii. I'm all relaxed. I'm all happy. I come back. I turn on my computer. I sit down to finish the Spanish script, and I discover that I can't do it because I'm not mad anymore. And there's something about those tropical braises and having pineapple with every meal that kind of yanked it right out of me. And so I had to sit down and think about everything in my life that had pissed me off. And I mean really think about it and get and work wow. myself up into a wall-eyed fit to finish that book.
I love your to a wall-eyed fit. That's a good word right there. Now, there's a couple of points in your book, and I didn't outline all of them, but I just wanted to get the gist for everyone. Is you talk about when to curse and when not to curse, and you have kind of a self-check before different curses. I think even before, almost before all of them, if it's time to curse or not curse.
Okay, and I knew you were going to ask me that, and I don't have that sitting right in front of me.
No, just the gist of it, just the process. I mean, like
the thought
process.
I think to start with, you need to make sure you didn't do it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we curse ourselves unwittingly. For example, you get ready to go on vacation, and you get in the car, and you back out, and you think, I hope I don't have a flat tire. Well, you know what? Chances are, before you get where you're going, you're going to have one.
Yeah, but never ask what else could happen.
Exactly.
Ask what's next.
You know, I don't even believe in saying, okay, I've hit rock bottom because the only place is up, because I'm telling you, somebody in the cosmos is going to pop you on the head with a 2x4 and say, oh, you thought this was rock bottom, honey? You ain't seen shit yet.
Yeah.
This is trouble.
Yeah. So you know, you need to make sure that it's not something that you've done to yourself, or it's not the product of your own faulty decision-making.
Right.
Because when you start throwing out a curse, if it is, then you're going to throw that nasty crap on yourself. You've already got nasty crap. You don't need any more. So,
right.
But the other thing is I think you need to really stop and outline the situation in your head. You know, is cursing this person going to give you the results you want? For example, you know, I think, and I just had a horrible experience with a car dealership, and somebody said, oh, and you didn't curse them. But we'll talk about that maybe later, okay? the deal is, you know, with people who have lost the person they think was the love of their life, and that person has moved on and gone to somebody else, okay? Women are really bad about this. They say, that bitch stole my man. And, you know, and I want something done. You know, I want her cursed, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, the fact of the matter is that bitch didn't steal your man. Okay, your man probably couldn't keep his pants zipped up. That was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have displaced anger. You have to remember that other woman is probably going to be the victim too, because if he did it to you, I mean, if he does it with you, he's going to do it to you.
Right.
So doing something to this other woman is not going to fix the situation. That's not going to bring him back. You know, to start with, you don't need him back, but that's beside the point. Okay? but doing something to her is not going to solve the problem. It's not going to give you the result that you want. So, you know, I think that cursing in that particular case is a little ridiculous. Because the other thing is, what if you do something horrible to this other person and he feels so sorry for her that makes them closer?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that can backfire too.
Right.
So you know, I think one of the main things is that you really need to look at what it was you wanted and see if cursing is going to bring that to you. And if it's not, then you need to go back to the drawing board and see what will, you know, make it manifest.
Don't you think a lot of times cursing, like what you're talking about with writing this book, is a dumping? You're dumping a lot of anger out of you.
Yes.
You're dumping your frustration out of you, and especially when you feel powerless.
Yes.
And so that's a great time to stop for a second and take your own inventory, saying, did I make myself, like you said, is this something I did to myself, But I think that's why, you know, cursing feels so appealing, because when I'm whipped up, I am whipped up, and nothing shy of a cathartic release is going to get me back down to earth. And I think that's what we look at a little.
You know, I think you're right. But by the same token, sometimes you do something and you think it's going to be a cathartic release, and when you're done, you don't feel any better. because you still haven't rectified the situation.
No.
And you know, I do think that cursing does have its place. You know, my husband was harping on me. We're going to talk about this car dealership for a second. He was harping on me that I needed a new car. Well, I loved my car. I had a convertible. It was actually a collector's item. They didn't make it anymore. It had brand new tires on it and brand new brakes on it that didn't even have 500 miles on it, and it was a 2008 model that only had 50,000 miles on it. So, you know, you walk into a dealership, you think you got a bargaining chip. No, to start with, they don't have what I want on the lot, but they can get it for me. Okay, that's fine. But the salesperson starts out with the base price of the car at $2,000 more than the manufacturer's website lists it for. So I had to make him go to the manufacturer's website and look.
Right.
Then he wants to give me $500 less for my trade-in than just a car that particular car in fair condition would have listed for.
Oh, so it was way lower than you should have gotten.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I have to keep reminding him stuff. And then I made him go over to Kelley Blue Book and look.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the fact of the matter is that a lot of car salespeople don't realize that their customers now are a little more savvy and better informed than they used to be 30 years ago. Okay.
Especially when Dorothy walks onto the lot. Okay.
Well, yeah. So anyway, because I know what I want and I don't want to haggle all day. And then besides that, it's Super Bowl Sunday and I want to get home to watch the game. So anyhow, you know, things rock on. And then he tells me, he starts to look for this vehicle for me, and he's looking in both Virginia and Maryland, and he tells me he can't get it in the color that I want anywhere in those two states. But if I want to order one, it'll be about 3 or 4 months. Well, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm either going to do it today or I'm not going to do it. So anyhow, so now he's trying to talk me into a color that I don't want. And it's like, hell no. And to start with, I'm paying cash for it, which used to be a good thing, which is not a good thing anymore, because they make more money if you don't pay cash for it.
Right.
So there's a big hassle. So finally, I'm pissed off, and I get up to leave. And so now he talks to his sales manager. So they wind up finding me the car.
Oh, miracle.
Yeah, less an option that I thought I wanted. Okay, but it was okay. I was willing to do that. But then they weren't sure that they could still find the color, and there was all this hassle. So, but everything is fine finally. I buy the car. I can pick it up the next day. They call me. They tell me it's going to be ready in an hour. I wait an hour and a half, and then I go down there to make sure. Because I know I used to work at a dealership. I know, okay? And I don't want to wait all day. I get down there. It's still not ready, and I have to wait an hour. When I finally see the car, it's missing a valve stem cover. No, we're not playing that game. Then I get in it. It's only got half a tank of gas. Well, we're not playing that game either. Now, what they should have done is taken it to the gas station. No, they have me drive the salesman down to the gas station for him to fill it up. I get home, and I realize that I don't have any floor mats. I look at my window sticker. I'm supposed to have floor mats. I call. My salesman doesn't even miss a beat when I tell him that I don't have floor mats. He says immediately, my sales manager said that model didn't come with floor mats. I said, I beg to differ. He says, my sales manager, I said, I don't give a damn what your sales manager said. I'm looking at the damn window sticker. It says I have floor mats. I drive back to the dealership. He comes out and he brings me pale gray floor mats, which do not match my interior. I have a black interior. He says, oh, you wanted the, I just said, that won't do. He says, oh, you wanted the black floor mats? I said, yes, I do. So another 20 minutes, and then he tells me that, oh, he doesn't know what happened to the floor mats, but he's going to have to order them. I can pick them up tomorrow, Wednesday. Now, you know, at this point, I'm pretty pissed. I've been pleasant this whole time, but now I'm pissed. Now, do you think I should have cursed them?
No.
No, I don't either. But there were people who heard that little story that thought I should have. No. You know, I had a choice. I could have walked out of there. I could have thrown a fit. Now, I am getting a free tank of gas out of this, but it's going to take me forever to run out of gas because this is a hybrid. So, but... these things should never have happened. And yes, their salespeople certainly need to be retrained.
Right.
But I had choices. I could have thrown a fit. I could have walked out. I could have insisted that they give me that option that they couldn't find, that they had it installed for me. I could have insisted on that, to do it at their charge. There were a lot of things I could have done, but cursing them was not going to bring me all the things I wanted.
Right. Okay. On that note, we have to take a break, and we will come back to the story, and we'll talk about the when to curse and when not to curse. So, everybody, hang on to your hats, and while you're listening to our next musical selection, hey, take a visit to CoventryCreations.com, and we will see you in a flash.
When we came here, we were cold and we were clear, with no color on our skin. We were light and disgusting. And when we came here, we were cold and we were clear, with no color on our skin. Should we let that jump in? Hey, my name.
And welcome back to Keep It Magic. I'm Jackie Smith, and I'm here with Storm Sestavani, the smartest man in the universe. And he is my amazing and brilliant, a million, which would be the new word, host, co-host, partner on Keep It Magic. And remember, for more information on past shows, upcoming shows, lots and lots of articles and fun stuff, check out keepitmagic.com. It's always growing and moving and changing to fit whatever need you have. It's kind of like the website of requirement.
Yeah, I agree.
So we were chatting with Dorothy about to curse or not to curse, especially the dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorothy, you had a bit of an experience, and you had more of an experience of frustration, maybe a little incompetence, maybe a little. I find when salespeople are not doing the best they can, they're not enjoying the sale that they're making with you. It's because they have their own hidden agenda. They have their own issues behind the scenes.
Well, yeah, they do. And, you know, obviously I wasn't enjoying the experience I was having either.
Right.
You know, I finally told this guy, look, buddy, you know, I've realized that you only make money if you sell a car, and I don't mind feeding your family, but I am not going to feed your family for an entire year. He did not find that amusing.
No. No, and I find that, you know, when this is happening, when you get so uber frustrated with someone, it is usually because your agendas are not meeting.
Exactly.
Your agendas are not meeting. And so before we were on air with the show, and as we're prepping for it, Storm and I talked about a lot of curses in the Bible, which is like kind of the point of it in many ways. So, and in Kabbalah, they talk about the major cursing, and of course that is verboten. So, Storm, what are some of the, what is the curse that you were talking about initially?
The pulsa denora. Basically, what the pulsa denora is that it's a Kabbalistic curse in which the individual who is performing the curse basically brings down the angels to perform the wrath of God on the individual. Now, what wrath of God means Kabbalistically, you know, most people, when they hear wrath of God, you know, that they immediately start seeing fire and brimstone and, you know, pitchforks and, you know, demons and diabolical things. What the wrath of God means is the effect of your particular actions, you know, the laws of cause and effect. And basically what the pulsa denora does is it brings the effect at a much more quicker rate than normally would be. But basically you do the particular curse, and then you just let God do what it is that he needs to do.
So that's kind of like a hybrid between giving it over to your higher power, giving it over to the universe, and being the judge and the jury yourself.
Yeah. And the thing here is, it's a little bit different with like the pulsa denora. If the individual that you're doing it upon is a righteous individual, meaning they're following a spiritual system, they're doing the best that they can do, they're at least attempting to try, and they're not doing things with malice aforethought, pretty much the pulsa denora is not going to do much to them.
Huh. So...
So it's got a back door, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's got a back door. I mean, it would be just like, you know, somebody trying to curse Dorothy. I mean, Dorothy may be sitting in her, you know, little knitting chair, knitting or cleaning out her closets. But, you know, basically what is going to happen is, you know, she'll say, I'm feeling a little bit strange right now. I think I need to do me a little reversible candle.
Yeah. See, you are the smartest guy in the universe.
You know, basically it is the same. You know, for example, I don't think that necessarily, and Dorothy, you can comment on this, I don't think that necessarily you can just curse somebody just because, you know, you have a hair up your butt that day, okay? I don't necessarily know how effective that would be. The main reason that I think that is because maybe the person didn't earn what it is that you're trying to hit them with.
Well, you know, I am going to take a point out a different side to that. You know, just because somebody didn't know the gun was loaded doesn't mean their best friend isn't dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And, you know, accident aside, you know, the end result was still the same. I think that magic always works. If it didn't always work, it wouldn't be magic.
Yeah.
So I do think that if you curse somebody, I think it always works. You know, with this particular curse that you're talking about, you know, with you know having the back door,
yeah.
I think that's great because we don't always, you know, sometimes we're so pissed off we don't always look at everything, and sometimes you know we have displaced anger, and so we curse the wrong person, and so I think in those kinds of cases, if you know, people who are always extremely angry always need to do a curse for the back door. you know, aside from that, if you're cursing a magical practitioner, if you're sending them bad shit, they've got enough sense to have shields up.
Yeah.
And this crap, you know, and so you throw up your shield, and this shit runs back and forth, gaining momentum like, you know, a cosmic ping pong game. And eventually
what it reminds me of, Dorothy, is that you're mad at your best friend because she didn't bring the proper cheesecake over to you. So you so you cursed her because of it. And then the next day, the things are fine.
Well,
yeah.
You have to be really cursing is best served cold.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning wait till you are done being really hot about the situation, and then you can say, is it time to curse or not?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think livid pissed drives it, but but you know what? If I'm going to curse somebody, to start with, I don't like egg on my face at all.
Right.
And so I have to know I'm right, not just that I'm justified. You know, I have to have all the facts in hand, and this is why I generally wait way longer than most people do before I actually do something. You know,
yep.
One time, you know, it was a hell of a curse, but one time it took me 4 years to get to that point because I had to know for sure for my own sanity that, you know, that I was right and I had all the facts in hand and they were indisputable. I think cursing is most effective when you do it in that ice cold rage. I think
right.
It's so much better than that hot rage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when is the time? Here's a big question: is that you know, as I tease Storm all the time, I'm a lazy witch, and so I don't want to work that hard. I would rather speed up, you know, just do whatever it takes to speed up whatever they need to have in their world to get out of mine. And one of the curses that Storm taught me is that you wish them everything they ever wanted.
Well, you know, my favorite one does have a back door, and it's simply a spoken curse, and it goes like this: may you be forced to eat from the same plate as that from which you serve your guests.
Yeah, there you go.
And so, you know, if they're not doing anything, they're okay. But if they are, then, you know, they get it full force. They get exactly what they're dishing out.
Now, one of the things that I just remember a good friend of mine reading your book, there's something that she wants. There is a location that she wants to put her store in, and there's already somebody in that location, and that person is not doing anything with that location, literally, has been closed for months. And as she was taking her own inventory on this, because she was ready to hot foot them right out there, she goes, you know what? That's me pushing my agenda where it actually doesn't belong. And it was an interesting, her saying, you know, I'm gonna let this happen in the right time, and that's the energy that she was moving with, rather than trying to curse somebody out so she can move in. Because I think when you really push in your own agenda, you have really no good reason but your own greed and want.
Well, but you know what? You know, it depends on how you define greed or how you define desire. You know, the thing is, I think she could have gotten that person out of there without cursing them.
Mm-hmm.
Little hot foot powder would have done it, and that didn't curse anybody.
Well, I think
she still didn't have to lease that location.
I love doing on things like that. Sometimes when it seems like you're going to curse somebody or push your own agenda, again, it's being lazy. I find it's much easier to help them find a brand new opportunity that's super exciting for them.
Well, you know, it is. But isn't all magic about your own agenda?
I was about to say, I think that we really have to be careful with these words like desire and agenda, because basically we all have desire. You know, we wouldn't strive towards anything if we didn't have desire. I think it's what we do with that particular desire that matters. So if this individual that you were talking about, Jackie, actually mm-hmm. wanted the particular store so that she could do a lot of good things and nice things for the community and share her particular knowledge with people and create some form of enjoyable experience for other people, I see no problem there in regards to poofing and thunder alleying that person right on away.
Thunder Alley, Tornado Alley, honey.
Tornado Alley. Whatever.
I think Thunder Alley is a like a car show. But
yeah, Tornado Alley them right on away. You know the but I think that you know in the converse, it basically what you wanted to do is that you just wanted this shop so that you could sit on it and not use it for some form of practical reason. Why bother?
Well, here's one of my theories about cursing. And about the moral obligations within magic, is it's up to you. Does it sit well within your moral and value code?
Okay. You know, I agree with that. You know, I think if it makes you feel guilty,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's when it's going to backfire on you real bad.
Well, yeah, because you make it backfire. And, of course,
yeah.
This is a whole nother show, but, you know, I don't believe that there's some deity up there that's handing out karma cookies, okay? We give ourselves karma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we feel guilty about something, we've given ourselves bad karma.
True.
And that's what the weight of that guilt feels like, you know? When we feel good about something, then we give ourselves good karma. So, you know, I think that's another thing about cursing. You know, if it's going to make you feel guilty or you go, oh, I just want to blah, 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 I don't really want to hurt them, then you know what? Cursing is not for you.
Yeah.
Period.
And
it's okay.
Right. Right. And I find personally I don't like to be judgment on other people. I've got all that freaking Libra going on in my rising, so I can see every side of it. And that's my take. That's my workaround is I can see too many sides of it. So what I do is I say, okay, this is what I want, or this is I want you out of my life. Or you know, I open the doors in different ways to that.
Yeah.
And I don't go for the direct assault because I suck at the direct assault. I've never been good at the direct assault. And so it's that raspberry jam theory. You always get a little on yourself. And so
but you know what, Jackie? That direct assault thing, it's a practiced art, okay? And I'm so glad that you don't feel the need to practice it.
We feel safer in our beds, Jackie, now.
Yes, we
Dorothy
do.
Dorothy and I now only have to watch out for each other.
Right.
But I find... But I find personally when I give it over, and I don't just give it over to some mamby-pamby energy over there. I got some heavy hitters that I build relationships with, and I give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And once I give it to them, whew, I see stuff happening. I say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the best course of action is. This. I just know that I am in danger, and I need your assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And surrender it.
You know, and that's a smart thing to do. People who instead leave it up to the universe are fools. Because the universe is a mindless vehicle. and it's going to take the point of least resistance. So, you know, I think if you're going to leave it up to something or someone, your best thing is to have developed some relationship with specific deities and give it over to them then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also important to remind them that you are their child.
Yes.
And look what these folks have done to you. always had your best.
Now, you know, we've had, Star and I had some great conversations before the show about how, you know, we're coming up on our break, but I just want to start building for our last segment here, is that when you are cursing, when you say, okay, it's time to pull out the big guns and pull out Utterly Wicked and flip to the back where the nasty ones are and figure out what kind of curse we're going to throw at somebody who may be, you know, doing damage in your neighborhood or the drug dealers who set up in the house next to you or things like that, you're judging. You have put yourself in a place of judgment. And is that where you need to be in judgment and protect, or do you need to say I'm in protection mode, or do you need to say I might need to help the situation versus judge the situation? And
maybe,
then,
but maybe you're not judging it. Maybe you're only looking at facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe that's something, you know, we need to talk about too. Are you judging? Are you looking at facts?
And what do you think the difference is between those two?
Well, you know, facts are finite. You know, 3 times 3 is equal to 9. That's, you know, and there's no way you're ever going to change that.
Right.
So that's a fact. So, I look at this fact. I have $9 in my wallet. That means I can't spend 10, period. Okay? So, you know, you look at facts. Okay? Now, you know, judgment is when you look at a situation with your own spin.
That's a very good point.
I agree with you,
Dorothy. I think that the word judicious is probably the appropriate one here. When you are being judicious, it means that you've taken your own personal feelings out of it and are only looking at the meal cold on a plate. When you're being judgmental, that means that there's something inside that is percolating. You know, whether your own beliefs or your own thought processes or whether your own value system or your own tastes, there's always a value system involved with it. I will tell you, each time that I've approached things through the world of judgment, it's never worked out in my favor. Ever.
Well, that's because, you know, judgment is based on your truth, and the truth is the truth as each person sees it.
Yes.
Yep, the truth is very, very subjective. And it's built on, again, our own point of view, our own experiences, our own emotional reactions. And that's why if you find it's time to, the drug dealers moved in next door down the street and you're worried about your safety and the safety of your family,
mm-hmm.
and you want to get them the hell out of there, again, don't go, I think the best option is to go in cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wrote a lot about it with, interestingly enough, what I wrote about for the month of February, Dorothy, was radical acceptance.
I read that.
Yeah, and it's a therapeutic term, you know, which I think that many businesses are rather borderline.
yes.
You know,
yes.
I decided, you know, I can, you know, do a little bit of a business DBT here. But radical acceptance is, you know, really looking at the situation in a way in which I think that you can respond to it appropriately. And I think that possibly the process of looking at radical acceptance before you make the decision of whether or not that your solution to your problem is cursing is probably the best way to go.
I think so, too.
You know, radical acceptance would involve, you know, with your scenario with the woman that, you know, feels that her boyfriend that got together with another woman 3 months later stole their boyfriend, okay? Radical acceptance is the relationship was not working to begin with.
Well, right. Exactly. You know, and I know we've got to go to break, but just really quick, when... when my ex-husband and I broke up, and he had started this affair with the girl next door, and they were both being so ugly to me, and I was like on the hill. The only place I could find to live was on the hill that overlooked my old house and hers.
Oh,
and so one day they pulled a stunt that really pissed me off, and I took my trash and I dumped it on her front lawn, my trash bag. And she says, "What the hell are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, honey, you liked my leftovers and trash. I didn't think you'd mind taking this too." And I drove off. Now, that wasn't a curse, but you know what? That made me feel better. So sometimes, you know, you need that kind of a direct approach instead of a curse. Because really and truly, I was blessed not to have the jackass anymore.
Right. Well, don't you feel that in your visceral anger reaction, that you almost don't need to do much more because that can potentially be an attack right there?
Well, yeah.
You're sending that energy right out to whomever it is that that you're talking with. I mean, if I'm really livid with somebody, they know. They're squirming in their seat. I am not keeping that stuff on lockdown.
Well, you shouldn't because you'll explode otherwise.
Yeah. No,
literally, yes.
And I know when someone's mad at me, too.
Yeah.
And it's funny, over here at Coventry, we've had conversations with staff going, okay, just so you know, you're working with a bunch of sensitives. Whatever level of psychic, everybody becomes sensitive once they work here. So everybody knows when you're talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
It was really a wake-up call for everyone. Well, we are at the point where we need to take one more break. So everybody hold your horses, and we will be right back. And don't forget, we've got lots of magical tips and fun candle magic coming up in the next segment.
Oh, yeah, they tell me I'm a bad boy. All the ladies look at me and act coy. I just like to put my hands up in the air. I want bad girl dancing on the dirt. Look at her go on the dance floor. She's amazing on the dance floor. When she moves, girl, I want more. Keep it going, girl. Like I got a long guard. She got me saying,
nobody ever seen. Matter of fact, I seen a woman all up in my dream. Whipping and flipping and stacking and slapping. I'm attacking after she back it up and make it drop. After I met her, I told her, David, go wet, it's on the track. Baby girl, don't stop. Keep it going, you never know when somebody's gonna throw a couple dollars. Got a pocket full of $100 bills. Ludicrous, meant to make a woman holler. And every night on the floor, putting on a show. Everybody in the club, there's a little something you should know.
Look at it go. She moves, girl, I want more. Keep it going, girl. Like I got an old girl. She got me saying,
go, little bad girl, little bad girl. Go, little bad girl, little bad girl. Go, little bad girl, little
And welcome back to Keep It Magic with Jackie Smith and Storm Sestavani. We are on every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Western Time, and as Storm says, every hour in between. If you enjoyed the show and you don't want to miss another, hit the like button at the top of the Blog Talk radio page. And even if you're on the go, grab the Blog Talk app and you can listen to us while you're on the treadmill. Right, Storm?
How?
You can also listen to the Keep It Magic archives on keepitmagic.com, keepitmagic.com, or subscribe to us through iTunes. And you can, in the search box, type Keep It Magic, hit the podcast button, and then subscribe. This show is made possible by your patronage to our sponsor. Check them out at CoventryCreations.com, where magic is always happening. And you might want to hit it real quick because we're going to talk about the different cursing and uncursing candles that we have in the Wicked Witch Mojo line that we do with Dorothy Morrison. And we have a few. It's a good line. It's a good line. We have, and I think one of our favorites is Poof, right, Dorothy?
You know, I love that because that's not actually, I think this is a candle for people who kind of cringe at the words curse and hex. It's a banishing candle. So if you just want somebody or something out of your life, Poof is the way to go with that.
It works on so many wonderful levels. As a banishing candle.
I have clients who use the incense at protests.
Mm-hmm.
To be, when protests are bothering them, like they're backing up traffic and all this kind of stuff, that they carry the stuff in their car and they light a stick. And things begin to disperse. It's hysterical. It's great. So you know,
what is that church? The Westboro.
The
Westboro Baptist
people.
Church.
Yeah,
the horrible people who protest at military funerals and so on and so forth.
Right, right.
Yeah. That you know, there are a lot of metaphysical people who are up in arms about that. I think everyone should be up in arms about it, but. But anyway, yeah, they actually buy tons of the Poof incense and take it with them. And
if you're going to do that, you need to grab it now because Coventry Creations has taken the incense back to the drawing board, so you might not be able to get it later in about a month. So
yes,
just throw that out there as we're talking about the incense and whatnot.
Yeah, you know, you know, Poof is good. It's good for a lot of things. You know, oils, which you probably need to make an announcement about that too. But the oils are really good for eliminating problems in your home because you can do things with them like put a dab on the light bulbs in your home. Like on your lamps and so on and so forth. And because every time you turn that lamp on, that brings that all through your living area. You know, if you're having trouble with, you know, because we're talking about Poof now, but if you're having trouble with folks like in the workplace and this kind of thing, and you want them to leave you alone so you can just do your job, close that. Like your lingerie or your underwear, when you put that in the dryer, put a sock in there, a clean sock in there with a dab of Poof on it, and let that permeate your underwear before you go to work. You know, you know, it's just great stuff.
Now, just what Dorothy was talking about now with the oils is that. What Coventry is doing is we have had issues with keeping our bottle supplier supplying us with bottles. And so as we have a special bottle that doesn't leak in shipping, we have put that one back at the drawing board so we can bring that to you at a better price, better quality, better packaging, et cetera. So the incense and the oils are going to take a little vacation for a little while, but that means that we can bring back some of the other stuff that, that we have retired. But on the Wicked Witch Mojo candles, we have Flying Monkeys, Sucks to Be You, Making Tracks, Out of My Way. Those are all excellent for getting your point across and being that aggressive, projective magic.
Yeah, you know, the Flying Monkeys is excellent for protection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really does work in spades. You know, I would suggest anyone who is, say, moving house, you know, if you're moving into a new place, the first thing you ought to do when you get your stuff in there is, you know, burn one of those Flying Monkeys candles to help protect, you know, all the people in, that are in that living space and all your stuff, because, you know, it's fabulous. It Sucks to Be You, you know, if you really are going to pull out the big guns and curse somebody, It Sucks to Be You really does that job well. One of the things that I love most about it is it smells heavenly.
It does.
It was very deceptive, very deceptive.
Killing you softly with sweet smells right there.
well, exactly. And, you know, somebody ordered some, and then I realized that they had, it smelled so good, they dabbed some on. And it was like, oh, no. You take a shower and spritz yourself down with salt water immediately. Get that off of you. Because that's part of the magic, that it smells so heavenly, you want to wear it yourself. So, you know, don't go there because it really does mess with people, which, is, you know, is its purpose.
And the one that's coming back is Shut Your Mouth.
I love that, and I'm so glad it's coming back.
Me too, because it is the candle that does the job, that and the Hoodoo Gossip Stop. That's what it's, those are what they're for. Fermez la bouche.
Uh-huh. It's better than a slap in the mouth.
It really is.
It really is.
And sometimes that's what you just, with cursing, you don't necessarily need to go all out. You just need to push, give a little push. And most people back down with a little push, a little redirection.
Well, you know, they do, especially if they're bullies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've noticed that about bullies, because most bullies are... Well, you know, one of the reasons that they become bullies is because they feel powerless, and so this is their power. But what they're really like is a little chihuahua on the other side of a hurricane fence yipping at a Rottweiler, you know?
Yeah.
and you take the fence down, and then it, you know, it runs very quick under the house.
Yep.
Before the Rottweiler can get them. So sometimes just a little nudge, just a mild confrontation will stop this in its tracks.
Yeah, and so that, you know, that's a really good point of when to curse and when not to curse, is you can build on it. You know, I always say that there's a couple different levels. There's you know, bad mouth and the evil eye, and there's, you know, hexing somebody or jinxing somebody, and then there's straight up cursing somebody. So there's different levels that you can take it to, that to get somebody to stop what's going on. I mean, sometimes, again, if the crack house moves next door or on your block or somewhere where you don't want to see it, you don't necessarily need to do a whole curse. You can just jinx them a little, because they will go. If you put a law attraction like right on their doorstep, and all of a sudden the cops are driving by all the time, for some reason, they'll just move.
Well, you know, they will. One of the things that I love to do, and around Halloween, you can find these like at your little arts and crafts, your local arts and crafts stores, these little wooden hex-shaped coffins that are unpainted. And they cost almost nothing. And I buy a ton of those. And what I love to do with those is I'll paint them black. And I'll take a couple of chicken bones, like wing bones or drumstick bones or, you know, whatever, and I will make a cross with them and tie that together with a black ribbon and toss it in and put on somebody's doorstep. This is when they curse themselves because it scares the hell out of them.
Yep. You don't need to do much. You just need to make it look scary.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to do anything. You know, the scariest thing that you're actually going to do is putting it on their doorstep without them coming out asking what the hell you're doing. Okay? But I mean, you know, right up on, you know, right up in front of their front door. So when they open that door, that's the first thing they say.
Yeah, that's a brilliant move right there. Now, Dorothy, you have a site filled with lots of goodies called WickedWitchStudios.com.
Yes.
And on there you have all the candles, incense, and oils that you carry, but you also have beautiful altar cloths that you do. You have my favorite mug that I have at my desk all the time. And you have a lot of great Dorothy Morrison stuff, as well as all of your books. So if you're looking for a copy of Utterly Wicked and you wanna stay local or stay close, definitely ask your local store for it. But also you can go to Wicked Witch Studios and grab it before you head over to Amazon. You know, hit up our girl and she'll send you a copy.
Yes, I will. I'd be delighted to. Autograph.
And so this has been fun. This has been fun chatting about curses. We could go on for months about...
Well, you know, any time the three of us get together, though, we talk on and on and on.
Save room for each other. It's hard to, because we got lots to say. Lots to say. So this has been it's been a great show to share some of this information and to, you know, explore it a little bit. If you can, if it can curse, it can cure. If it can cure, it can curse.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I always say when people say, oh, no, I'd never do that, you have to recognize the shadow side of yourself, the darker side of yourself, the cursing evil side of yourself. Know that it's there and recognize it.
Well, you know, I think that when people finally recognize it is when they feel that their loved ones, their children, are in danger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is when they would really feel moved to do something.
Mama bear comes out.
Yeah, because that's part of human nature. And, you know, you can call that maternal instinct, or you can come to the realization that that's part of your dark side.
That tends to come out when we're in defense of another. You know,
mm-hmm.
I know that if someone messes with one of mine, which, of course, includes both of you,
mm-hmm.
then the evil Jackie does come out and get scary. The evil redheaded stepchild becomes a parent.
Yes.
And so, but I think when we deny our dark side, when we deny our need for boundaries, when we deny our need to make sure that we're protected or that we have our own wants and desires, it then starts to own us. When we say, oh, no, I always work in the law. I would never do anything like that. What happens is you start doing that. You start being judgmental, and you start cursing people without you really even knowing that you're doing it by your actions. So when you own it, when you own your anger and you own these things and say, yep, that's me, and I'm pissed, and you find honesty and universal truth, then if you curse, you're doing it on purpose. But and there's times for it.
Yep.
There's times for it, especially when you're being the mama bear and somebody is messing with your child. But there's also, and Storm, we talked about this before, is that, when we opened the show, like with Wicked, that different
mm-hmm.
perspective, just remember maybe yours isn't the only one.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, and you know, and a lot of people wind up being in the wrong place at the right time. And sometimes things appear to be one way, and they're not. Things are seldom as they appear. And that's why I think that people really need to examine situations before they make a decision about which route they're going to go.
Right. So revenge is always a dish best served cold.
That's right.
Well,
says Emily
are...
Thorne every Sunday night at 9 p.m.
So we have some good shows coming up for the rest of this month. Boy, this is going to be a busy month for us. We have, not only am I going to be at Convocation in Troy, Michigan, or no, it's in Dearborn now, Dearborn, Michigan, towards the end of the month. And if you are interested in looking up at what Convocation is, it is a pagan convention, and you can go to convocation.org, and I'm teaching 4 classes there, and that's, I think, in 2 weekends. Oh, I'm not even ready. And I'm bending and bringing lots of good stuff. And then, but as I'm getting ready, we're going to be doing a couple of really great shows, because next week we're doing, we're going to start really tearing into Karen Berg's book, Does God Wear Lipstick?, which is a Kabbalah book for women. And then on the 19th, we're going to start digging into At the Crossroads, or excuse me, we're going to start digging into Candle in the Crossroads by Orion Foxwood, and start talking about some conjure, old-style conjure that comes from him, although it's not so old-style, it's more of a blend. And then on the 26th, which is right after Convocation, we're going to be digging into being a better leader, a lapsed anarchist approach to being a better leader, and talking about kind of social consciousness and leading. So we've got a few shows coming up that I think are going to be really interesting, and we're really taking it to a different perspective, aren't we, Storm?
Yeah, definitely.
So we are pretty much at the end of our show, aren't we?
Yes.
So it always goes so fast.
I know.
Thank
it really
you so
does.
Much. Thank you so much, Dorothy, for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I hope you'll have me back. I enjoyed myself thoroughly.
Every dime, every time. And, of course, you know, this is our tradition now, February. February
yeah.
is the month of Dorothy. And February is the month of Dorothy on the CoventryCreations.com site. And if you are in the Ferndale area, come on into the Candlewick Shop, because we have lots of Dorothy goodness all over the place. So we want to thank everyone for being with us this afternoon. And we had a great time. We hope you did, too. And you can listen to us, again, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock on the East Coast. 4 o'clock on the East Coast, 1 o'clock on the West Coast. I get them all mixed up. Again, to reach Storm off the air, you can go to Psychic Friends Now or go to his fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/astrogossip. And to reach me off the air, go to CoventryCreations.com, or you can go find me on Facebook under Jackie Smith or Coventry Creations. And make sure you check out our show website, keepitmagic.com. We're always adding new content, and we have some of the best metaphysical authors, Storm and Jackie, in the whole world. And we will see you next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. So it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak loud. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life.
Speak life. you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Step in love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life. Perfect.